Thank you, Liz. It's a real joy to be back at CBC to share with you in this chapel service. Lamar and I have had a very profitable time visiting all the other campuses during the last 3 weeks, and we just got home day before yesterday. And it's always nice to come home, but to also get to come to CBC and Evangel College and meet many of the students whom we see in the churches right here in town. I've never asked at any school for those former MAPS volunteers to stand. But since CBC always has the largest number from any one campus, I'd like for all of you who have ever been on a MAPS assignment to please stand in the balcony and on the floor. Would you do that, please? They deserve a good hand. God bless you. We appreciate working with you. The missionaries, of course, appreciate it. And the local congregations, whether it be on a home front or a foreign field, likewise appreciate all you have to offer and share in a summer of ministry. Now, before I mention the MAPS openings, for you who will be graduating this summer and will be looking for a full-time position on a local church staff, we'd be glad to share your resume. If you'll just pick up one of these light blue application forms that are over here on the altar at my right, pick it up, fill it out, and put a photo with it, and mail it to our office. And whenever pastors contact us for youth pastors, music directors, Christian ed directors, school teachers, whatever, wherever you qualify, we will send your resume to them and notify you where we've sent it, and it'll give you another contact about which to pray. Also, the next time you write home to your pastor, be sure and send him one of these MAPS construction brochures. Pick it up also over here to my right. And let him know by sending that in the MAPS office, we need more construction teams. Teams to go to the field and build churches and work on Bible school facilities and build parsonages, warehouses, whatever the facilities may be needed. We need more individual workers and local teams from congregations throughout America. Today, Lamar and I will be in the faculty lounge immediately after chapel, beginning at 11 o'clock, conducting interviews with those of you who are interested in a summer or 1 to 2 year MAPS assignment. Now, if you're planning to graduate this year and you're still looking for God's will for your life, be sure and come in and talk to Lamar Headley about a possible 1 to 2 year assignment. We need many secretaries and bookkeepers and accountants. We need editorial writers and proofreaders, artists, people who run the printing equipment, radio television technicians. We need auto mechanics and maintenance personnel and house parents and cooks. We need people to work with military personnel and others in coffee house type ministry, nurses, school teachers. Really, we carry over 300 openings all the time where we need volunteers to work with our missionaries. Volunteers raise their own fare, their own support from congregations where they have friends and relatives. And we encourage you to talk to Lamar if you're interested in finding out more about the 1 to 2 year program. But if you're still in school and you'll be coming back next fall, of course, talk to either of us about a summer MAPS assignment. Now, many of the interns have already come into our office and have discussed where they will go, and you can also come in and talk to us today. We have some more openings since you came into the office, and a number of you have already sent an application for your possible summer assignment. Likewise, you can come in and talk to us today. Now, just simply sign up here in the front. We will have these two golden sheets. One begins at 11 o'clock up through up until 2 o'clock, and the other from 2 o'clock on. We'll stay as long as necessary today to get in the interviews with you. We can take two people, really four people, every 20 minutes. Each of us can talk to two people at a time. And when you sign up, pick up a short questionnaire and bring it with you. If you've already sent an application to our office, we've brought those back with us today, and you'll not need to fill out a questionnaire. But we want you to come in and talk to us about the possible openings. Now, here's what happens when you come in for an interview. We glance at this questionnaire you'll have filled out, and we can tell very quickly what your interests are. And then we'll begin sharing with you openings in those particular areas. And then we'll give you a packet to take with you to pray about. And we encourage you to talk to your pastor or call your folks and discuss this with them. If you have no pastor, if you have no parents, then talk to someone here at school who will earnestly pray with you. We do not want you to make a decision strictly on emotion or excitement. We want you to pray and sense that God is leading you in this matter. And then in the next week or so, send the application back to us if you are interested in a MAPS assignment. If you're not, just send a little note stating that you're not interested this particular year. Now, if you speak German, we have an opening in Germany for those who would like to take part with a local church ministry. You'd be involved in a local church and also in evangelism, but you do need to know the language, and you'd be involved with students from Sweden and Germany and other European countries taking part in that assignment. If you have construction abilities, we need workers on some projects in Brussels, Belgium, and in Guam. And if you'd like to put your abilities to work throughout the summer months in construction, be sure and talk to us. If you know English very well, you're needed in Hong Kong. Our missionaries use a method of reaching people by teaching English. Now, the Chinese and Japanese, for the most part, take English as they grow up, but they do not know how to speak English. And so you would be in charge of a class teaching English. And of course, you'll sing with them and you'll tell them stories. And the unique thing about this is they use Christian songs and Bible stories. And after a while, they begin to ask, "Who's this Jesus you're always talking about?" And without them knowing it, you're sharing the gospel, and many hundreds of people are won to the Lord in the Far East through learning about English. Amen. If you know the sign language, we need a number of workers in the Philippines. In Latin America, you must know a language fluent enough to be on your own. Unlike the AIM teams, where the missionary is always there to translate or interpret, on a MAPS assignment, you'll be carrying a particular responsibility where you'll need to communicate on your own. So if you speak Spanish well enough to communicate, we need you very desperately in Argentina to take part in evangelism, and also in Paraguay to do convert follow-up in the tent crusades. And if you know English, you can go to Jamaica. And the tent crusades have profited much this past summer, and many of you were involved in that ministry. But again, we'll be sending teams of people to Jamaica to work with the aimers who will be going down this summer, and we need your help there very much. We also can use your talents and abilities working with youth and children and music and construction or minor maintenance repairs on Indian reservations, also in many teen challenge centers across America. There are a number of centers where we have no one who has yet shown an interest in going, but we would like to find many of you who would be interested in serving your summer assignment in a teen challenge center. Now, they know you're not trained necessarily, and most of you have not been involved in a drug culture, and that's not necessary. They want you there because you're a Christian young person, and by being there, you'll help counsel. As they watch your life, these young people will see Christ in you. You'll play with them, pray with them, have devotions with them. You'll have many opportunities to preach and to speak. You'll take part in their street evangelism. And some of these centers have as their evangelistic outreach the starting of children's Bible clubs in the neighborhoods and in the parks. Indianapolis is one of those. Phoenix and Yuma, Arizona are two others. Detroit, Michigan does it. And there'll be others that we can share with you. And we need workers all across America. So if you have any interest at all in taking part in a different culture, Teen Challenge would be one of them, okay? And it's usually the least expensive assignment because they don't charge you anything for the most part. They just say, bring some spending money, and they'll provide your lodging and your meals. Also, we need some workers with Jewish ministries up in Illinois and in New Hampshire, another deaf ministry in Mississippi. We have some summer camp openings where you can work with youth and children all summer long. Here again, just bring your spending money. Some pioneer churches in Colorado, Massachusetts, and New York need people to serve as youth and music directors and witness and just take part in whatever area of ministry. And then there are two other areas that I wish to mention this morning. One is the AIM program. Some of you cannot afford the whole summer, but you'd like to go on an organized witnessing ministry, and the National Youth Department is sponsoring AIM witnessing throughout the summer. Teams will be going to France and Germany and Jamaica and Mexico City and the Philippines. And then thousands of young people are needed in Los Angeles at the Olympics this summer, also in New Orleans at the World's Fair, and in the starting of two new churches in Boston, Massachusetts. Teams are needed up there. Now come in and talk to us, and we'll give you the information on how to get involved in the AIM team. Now, if you'd still like to go on a MAPS assignment, and you can only go for a week or two, then we encourage you to consider two resort openings. One is in New Orleans at the World's Fair. For $100 per week, your lodging, meals, and all the spending money you need would be taken care of. So you need your fare and $100 per week to go to New Orleans and take part in an organized witnessing effort. They need 50 to 100 people per week. And you would witness in the French Quarters, there on Bourbon Street, and at the World's Fair just a few blocks away, and in a big park service that'll take part every day. Now, another opening is in West Yellowstone, Montana, where we had 25 people serving last year. They have a coffee house ministry. And the nice part about this is the only assignment we have where you can also work full-time at a job to save up money to come back for tuition. It is a coffee house ministry. Services are conducted every night. You can have all the preaching opportunities you want. You can witness, you can play your instrument, you can testify. They start a children's Bible club in the city as well. They witness to the people who live in that town of West Yellowstone, Montana, and also they go into the park, Yellowstone National Park, and take part in ministry. Jobs are available. It's minimum wage, but nobody had any trouble getting a job last summer. One girl did say it took her 2 weeks to get a job, but the jobs are available, and you can go anytime after the 1st of May. If you're interested at all in checking out a possible MAPS assignment for the summer or for 1 to 2 years, be sure and sign up immediately after chapel. We can take 4 or 5 people every 20 minutes, pick up a questionnaire and bring that with you to the interview, and talk to Lamar and I in the faculty lounge. It's a joy to travel with Lamar. He carries a great burden for evangelism around the world and for the ministries of MAPS. For 8 years, he's been involved as the MAPS coordinator. He's the former DCAP from the Alabama district. And Lamar is heading up this ministry that now places more than 1,500 lay people a year on the mission field. So would you welcome Lamar Headley as he comes to share the Word of God.
Thank you, Evan. It is a joy for me to come and minister to you this morning. If you would turn with me to Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus chapter 3. See, I'll let him get all the preliminaries out of the way, and then I just get right into the Word. Verse 9 and 10 of Exodus chapter 3. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on this thought: a call met with excuses. Of course, the story of the life of Moses for his early years up until the time that God is placing the call is contained all in one chapter, chapter 2. You know the story well of how he felt that he should try to deliver his children of it, how he should try to deliver the children of Israel, and tried in his own strength, killed a man, had to flee. We find his life on the backside of the desert after he had made this failure, tending sheep. And in one of the scriptures that is contained in the 2nd chapter, we read this: and Moses was content to dwell with a man. I'm afraid so many times this is the condition that a lot of our lives get in, is that we have a call on our life, yet we become content to dwell where we're at instead of listening to the direction that God has for our lives. It's not uncommon for me to hear or receive letters from individuals in my office that make this statement to me. Brother Headley, I had a call on my life in years gone by to the mission field. I felt God leading me, but I married the wrong man, or I married the wrong individual, or I made the wrong choice. And now years have gone by and divorce has come to my family, or this tragedy has taken place, or this has happened. And now I'd really like to try to fulfill that call that God placed upon my life. And so many times I look at this tragedy of a life that made the wrong decision, that failed to listen to the voice of God leading them and went in the wrong direction. Yet we find in this verse that I read to you, God coming again to Moses and saying to him, I want you to go and deliver my people. Now look at the setting for a few moments. The Bible tells us that a bush caught on fire and began to burn, but it was not consumed. And then God said to Moses, spoke to him out of that bush and said, pull off thy shoes, you stand on holy ground. Now, you would think that anybody that gets a call like that would, whatever God said, would say, oh, I'm ready. You know, whatever you say, Lord, just say it, I'm ready. Because I doubt seriously you're going to have a sea of bush burning and it not be consumed when God calls you to some special ministry. I doubt seriously you're going to hear God say, you're on holy ground, pull off thy shoes. But in spite of this valuable call and the way this call was made, this man said to God, I've got several excuses the reason I can't answer that call. God was saying to him, in essence, they tell us that probably 3 million people were in bondage in Egypt that needed to be delivered, and God was saying, I want you to deliver them. Let's look at it as excuses for a few moments and see if this doesn't size up so much what we so many times say to God when he places a direct call on our life and says, I want you to do something. When God said, Moses, I want you to go deliver the children of Israel, in verse 11 of the third chapter, he simply said, who am I? He said, in the old days when I served as a prince, I could have probably had some influence and got them delivered, but I'm simply a shepherd now. I've been on the backside of the desert for quite a while. Who am I? Princes may deliver nations, but not shepherds. They're not called to deliver nations. Even Gideon, when God came to him and said, Gideon, I want you to deliver the children of Israel. He said, oh, my Lord, who am I? Why, I'm from the smallest, poorest family in Manasseh. How is it that you could possibly use me? Isn't this typical excuses that we give God? We simply say, well, I don't come from the right family. I don't have the right influence, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Who am I? God calls somebody else. But you know, it's amazing how God can take the nobodies and make somebodies out of them when they turn their life over to him. God simply answered him when he said, who am I? He said, certainly I'll be with thee. You see, that's all you need, is the fact that when God calls you, he says, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to be any particular individual. It's the fact that God has called you and he says, I'm going with you. Then the second excuse he gave to God, he said, well, but what shall I say? I can't really witness. In fact, for 40 something, for a long time in life, not 40 years probably, but for a long time, I've been on the backside of the desert not talking to anybody but sheep. And that doesn't really qualify me to stand before a congregation, especially 3 million people, and talk to them and try to deliver them. I can't witness. I can't really speak. How many times has God laid on our hearts to talk to somebody? We say, well, Lord, I don't have the words. I can't really speak to them. But Jesus simply says this, the Holy Spirit shall teach thee what thou shalt say. He says, lo, I'm with you always. Then he says to our generation, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses. Then he says, the Holy Ghost shall lead you into all truth. God's answer to Moses was simply this. When he said, what shall I say? He said, you simply say, I am that I am has sent you. What he was simply saying is this, whatever your need is, I'm that. Don't worry about it. And if you'll simply say that I've sent you, I'll take care of everything. And he begins to unfold at least four things, and I'll briefly mention them. In answering that question to Moses, in verses 14 and 15, he revealed himself. He said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. I was faithful to them. I led them. I guided their lives. And therefore, I used the right method that they spoke with. And I'll do the same through your life. Then he unveils his plan in verses 16 through 18. He said, I will deliver you out of Egypt to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. That's my plan for the children of Israel. He said, the elders will listen and they will go to Pharaoh. Verses 19 through 21, he gives the courses of events. When he says, Pharaoh will not listen and I will have to smite Egypt. He didn't give him any surprises. He told him that that was going to happen. Then in verses 21 and 22, he gives him the ultimate outcome. When he says, I will finally deliver them from Egypt and they shall enter a land flowing with milk and honey. But that still wasn't enough. Chapter 4, Moses simply said, they won't listen to me. Nobody likes to be rejected. We expect 100% results when we stand up and say something. Every man that stood in a pulpit and ministered his heart out, he felt God gave him a message, he walked away at times feeling rejected because he knew there were men and women in that audience that needed what he said, yet they turned away from it. And he walks away and says, did I hear the voice of God? Did I preach the right thing? That's going to happen to you when you stand in pulpits. You must remember that. Moses said to God, they won't listen to me. And God said, now, you know, nobody likes to be rejected. They all want to be accepted. But he said, let me tell you something, Moses. I've got something that you can use to be effective. You know, to make people listen to us, we feel we've got to really have something extra or something different. Now, what did God do to prove that he could use what Moses had? He first said, what do you have in your hand? He said, well, I've got a rod. He said, well, I can use it. Throw it down. When he threw it down, it became a serpent. He said, pick it up again. And when he picked it up again, it became a rod. He said, now, if they won't believe you with that miracle, he said, thrust your hand in your bosom. And he put it in his bosom. When he drew it back, it was covered with leprosy. He said, now put it back in your bosom. And when he pulled it back, it was made completely whole. He said, once again, if they won't believe that, simply take water out of the Nile River and pour it out, and it shall become blood. I think there's a great principle here that God is teaching Moses and he needs to teach you and I. He didn't tell him to go out and get something he didn't have. He used simple things that he already had available to him. He took a rod that he had in his hand that he guided the sheep with. He took his fingers or his hands that he had at his fingertips and used it to prove the power of God. And he said, if that's enough, simply take water and pour it out and it shall become blood. We want to reach out and get something greater and beyond ourselves when God said, simply use what I placed in your hands. You see, the last thing he said to him, or among the last two things he said to God, was in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. But he said, God, I can't speak eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm not as gifted as everybody else. In fact, I'm handicapped. And the answer God said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord? You say, I've got this problem and I can't. I'll never forget a few years ago as I was on my way into Paraguay to Asuncion, that a missionary was going to be meeting me at the airport that I'd never met before by the name of Roland Blunt. If any of you have ever met Roland, you know he's blind, been blind from birth. And Roland, my thoughts as I got to the airport, I happened to arrive early, which is unusual, but I did. I arrived early, went through customs, and was outside the door waiting for Roland and his wife when they came across from the parking lot to pick me up. And I watched them as they came, and Roland's wife leading him. And I was saying, as Roland simply gets a hold of her elbow, and that's the way they walk, and I was saying to myself, a blind man on the field. What in the world does he mean coming to the foreign field? And what does foreign missions mean, sending a blind man to the field? That can't be. Well, I wasn't with Roland a few hours till I discovered he wasn't blind. Now, he might not have eyes as I do. But you see, when I was with Roland, it was in May, and that below the equator, it was time to build a fire, and he went out and got the wood and came in and built the fire in the fireplace. Nobody showed him where the wood was at. And came time to do his radio program. He went into the studio that he had at home, turned on all the equipment, did his radio program. Then I was there to look at some needs at the building. He took me around the house and showed me what needed to be repaired. And as he pointed them out, that was exactly right. And we went out in the yard, and he was pointing out several things there, and everything was just like he told me it was. I was talking with some of the other missionaries, and they said a few days ago we went over to the house, and everything was dark, but we heard a bandsaw running around the back. We went back there, and Roland was sawing on the bandsaw, and the lights were all out, and we said, Roland, turn on the lights. He said, oh, I forgot. Said, I didn't know the lights wasn't on, so he flipped on the lights. We'd ride downtown, and as we were going downtown, my first time to Asuncion, he said, Lamar, there's the American Embassy. Sure enough, it was. We pulled in to a place. We were busy talking. We'd been and seen the series Roots that was going on at that time. It'd been in the States, and they had it in the Culture Center there, and we were going to see it, and I realized that Roland learned more by listening than I did by seeing. As we were talking about it on the way home, we pulled into a store to pick up something, and as we pulled in, he said to his wife, you stopped at the wrong place. She looked and said, yeah, I have. You see, he knew where we were going, and he just has a sense about him. I've heard Brother Hogan tell a couple of times, and I'll simply end the story with what he said. He said, I was with him, and of course, Roland can change a tire on the car. In fact, he even backs the car out occasionally from the garage. And Roland, Brother Hogan was there, and Roland had picked him up and said, we've got to stop. His wife, of course, was driving. I should make that clear at this point. Roland and his wife had picked him up at the hotel, and they were on their way to the, and Roland said, we've got to stop at the service station. I have a flat tire that we've changed. We need to have repaired. They stopped, and Brother Hogan said, I was going to get out and get the flat tire, but said, Roland beat me to the back, got out the tire, and took it up to the man, and told him how to repair it. So we got back in the car, but said, what really blew my mind was when we crossed the river, Roland said, the river's up today. And he said, I couldn't feature it. But you see, that bridge makes a different sound when that river's up. I could go on telling stories about this man. You see, foreign missions first said, Roland, you can't go. But a missionary in Chile said, Roland, you're a great preacher, come down and preach for him. And he convinced them that he should be on the field. And because he convinced them that he should be on the field, he served several terms in Asuncion. He's been on television. He's made a great impact on that country. And today he works with Star Ministries in Lakeland, Florida, in producing TV ministries that's reaching throughout Latin America today. Here was a man that could have said, God, I'm handicapped, I'm blind, I can't serve you, I can't go to the mission field, but he didn't do it. He said, God, I'm available, and if you call me, I go. Here was Moses saying, I can't. Finally, Moses simply said to God, send somebody else. God said, no, sir, I've listened to your excuses long enough. You're going. And if you think you can't talk, don't worry. I'll send Aaron. He'll be your voice. And finally, God said to him, go, return to Egypt. And let me close by simply saying this. He finally went. And always remember this. When you answer the call of God, it may get worse before it gets better. We want instant success. We want to be on the mission field tomorrow. We want a church to run 300 2 months after we get there. You know, it could happen. I don't say it couldn't. But always remember, before Moses had success, he began to question God, "Did you really talk to me out of that bush?" When it got so bad that the people that he had gone to deliver them said, "Get out of here. It's got so bad since you arrived. We had a hard time before you came, but brother, you said you come to deliver us. It's got much worse since you came." You know the end of the story, and I'll simply stop here because my time has ended. But if God calls you, you make a way. You may question that a few times down the road, but he revealed to Moses how the outcome would be. Moses never walked into that land, but he saw it with his own eyes. And God did exactly as he said he would do. And if you'll answer that call today, wherever it is and whatever it is, he'll make a way. Father, let us be men and women today. We will not, and I did not, and many that sit did not receive the type call that Moses did. But I'm convinced there's millions of people waiting as they were for Moses. They're waiting today for men and women sitting in these pews to answer that call to deliver them from the oppression of Satan that is oppressing their lives. May they answer that call and move according to thy will. Guide our lives as men and women have heard thy voice today, and go with us from this chapel service, we pray today in thy name.
I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Please stand and sing again. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, again this morning, by your word, we have been made aware of the importance of responding to what you call us to do. Lord, please forgive us for so frequently being overwhelmed by external circumstances. Lord, it's nothing more than an indication of our lack of faith in you. And even as we have heard so beautifully this week, that our faith must be in God's faithfulness. And we believe, Lord, that if you call, you equip and you qualify. And we thank you for it. And now, Lord, in response to what our hearts have felt and our ears have heard and our minds have received, I pray that you will speak to many in this audience today about a place that you would be pleased for them to fulfill even in the next few months if you delay your coming. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that's been made available. Thank you for the vision that continues to expand. Thank you for those men and women in leadership responsibilities who are saying, yes, come and help us to accomplish the work of the kingdom. Amen.